At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Yes, and we are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake Bushnell.
Good day.
A man of very few words. And today, we are also joined with two very special guests. Jason and Randy Sklar, the Sklar brothers. What's up?
What's hello, up, dudes?
What's
brothers
happening?
And brothers, man.
Dude, it is a day of brothers.
I like the Lion King open. You know what I mean? It yes. was like, well, are we on an African safari? Is someone going to get their face ripped off? I don't know.
We knew the remake was coming out, and we said,
let's get on it.
Yeah, let's get on it. Before Beyonce ruins it.
Let's make our own safari.
To me, the remake should have been all the animals from The Lion King go to Minnesota and just kill a dentist.
That's it. How great would that be?
Who's like a big game hunter.
Big game hunter.
Yeah, dentist is like, I go out there and I get tusks. It's like, well, not anymore, bitch.
And then they all just post pictures online of them, animals, holding up the dentist.
And then they put his head like on wood in their living room.
But they also like teeth. Yeah, I was going to say, tooth necklaces of the dentist,
and they're all fillings, mm-hmm. so it even makes it that much...
He didn't even eat well. No. The dentist himself. Well.
Do you think that then they would get all this hate like on Instagram? Like,
why are you
killed the dentist.
Skin is not fur skirt. What is it?
Skin is murder.
Skin is murder. Skin is murder.
You know what? That dentist fed a whole pack. You know, that's the stuff, you don't hear about.
Yeah. I don't even like my dentist, and he's a good guy.
Yeah. Let alone that dude.
You rarely hear that. Love my dentist. Oh, yeah. Guys, can I?
I love getting mouth raped every 6 months.
Okay. I'll just go like at 3 months just to say hi.
Why not, dude? I actually like my dentist.
I love my dentist. It's the woman beforehand who takes like an ice pick to my gums and is like, you need to floss more. I'm like, how about you don't like try to destroy me, you awful person.
Your gums are bleeding. Yeah,
he
likes to ask me full questions.
When your mouth is full.
He's drilling. So how was your tour?
So sorry to hear that. That sucks, man. Well, listen, maybe you need a new merch guy. Actually, good point.
First thing down, dentistry. All right, the show
Done.
Is moving.
Good, solid.
We're flying. Love so, it. Flying. The Sklar brothers.
If you don't know the Sklar brothers, they're comedians.
Twin brothers, comedians. They are on tour right now. Yep. They are playing a show in Huntington Beach. June 15th, Duddy and I are going to go to this show. It is at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach.
Very cool room, man.
Super cool room. You can get tickets at supersklars.com.
Yeah.
They also have a special that's out right now on Stars, Hipster Ghost.
Yep.
Sign up for your 7-day free trial of Stars. Watch Hipster Ghost. Cancel that shit.
No, I'm just kidding. Stick around for
the programming. No, they didn't say it. I did.
Do whatever you want.
Watch a little episodes, a couple episodes of Vita, and then get out of there.
Vita? I was going to say, is there any other shows on there?
Vita's really good.
Yeah, Vita's a solid show.
You know, I love this room down in Huntington Beach because it's far enough away from LA that you're basically tapping into a different audience. It's not
totally
down in San Diego. So there is a feeling like, we're going to drive an hour to get down here, but it feels like it's on the road. So it feels like a road gig. They do such a good job with that room, and the laughs just bounce around that place.
That's awesome.
Last time we came down here, we were not prepared for how fun it was going to be. It's so funny because I'm sure you know this, especially with merch. We're like, should we bring some merch down? I wonder if it's going to do well. And then if you don't bring it, there's always like five people who are like, what?
What are you doing?
Fuck, man. But if you do bring it, then always they're like, we brought way too much. What are we doing? And that was the one place where we brought it down. We're like, at the last minute, I'm like, I'm bringing it. I'm gonna bring it, and then I brought it, and we sold a bunch of stuff, which is always the indication
the sign that the show was a good show.
I think that not just Huntington Beach, but just Southern California, like people really enjoy stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, yes, and also it's like you forget that is an option. I feel like people forget that's an option for a night out. They're like, what are we going to do tonight? Let's go to the same restaurant we go to
or
every
movie
5 years
or whatever. Yeah. It's like, see
no,
live.
You can see live comedy.
It is
the
great.
Live comedy is like this, in literally a group of people laughing together and not on their phones, like checking stuff individually, but collectively. That's like it's basically like the 17-foot jumper in the NBA. It's kind of like it's gone. Becoming extinct. We need to go back to that.
I agree, man. I mean, me and my wife, we go all the time. We love it. That's like awesome. Kind of one of our go-tos. Like we got a babysitter or something. Like, yeah, let's go see some
better make this thing worth it.
Yeah. We've done family trips to the improv, like where it's like 20 of us
last
at the
year.
Improv. It's
last year. Oh, you want a great Christmas present? Yeah, last year for Christmas, I just got like everybody
tickets to
the same show. Right. And we
Brilliant.
All just went, like 30
Brilliant.
Of us. It was great.
Because, and you guys would totally understand this from even a musical background, it's all, at this point right now, I think people value experiences a lot more.
Totally.
They're like, all right, you can have a lot of money and that is fine and things are fine, but also experiences are the best.
It really is.
So if you're all together and you're all like, oh, remember when we did that? And it's a good idea for a gift.
Like, yes, your mom wants a candle and your mom wants lotion for sure. Wait, but she really wants...
Why is your mom a Thai massage person?
I'm just saying, that's what you get your parents.
Does your mom know Robert Kraft?
Why is that?
Whoa!
Hang on a second.
You don't talk about best like that.
They're business associates.
Okay. All right.
She works at a strip mall in Florida.
My mother is a fiery Jew, and she will be here in 2 seconds. Uh-oh. She's the only one listening live.
This story has a happy ending, and that's all I care about.
Come on, everybody. Sorry,
and a happy beginning. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
How you doing?
Oh, my God. But they're right. The best night out. Come on, everybody who's listening, think of what the last thing. We went to the bar and had drinks. That's fine. You can go have drinks and watch
Both.
A stand-up comedian make you laugh. And you can usually get dinner where you see stand-up. So
totally.
Have a burger, have a beer, and laugh.
And, you know, for us, and when you tour around, it's like comedy as music. It takes you to cities and places that maybe you wouldn't normally go. Like, we were just in Salt Lake City this past weekend. Not a place that we would immediately go to. Yes, it has skiing and whatnot, but...
You go there, you start talking to people, you find out stuff. We just found out that Utah just...
This is 100% true.
Legalized premarital sex.
Just legalize it, which we're like... There's got to be a downside. Like
that
Utah,
was a thing?
Utah just legalized premarital sex. Yay, with minors.
Boo.
No, I'm just kidding. No, they did. I'm joking.
But there's.
Hooray! Yay, boo. But no, there is that moment where you're like, wait, you're telling us we can have premarital sex? Utah, is that like? That feels like Utah telling people what they can do with their iPhone.
They're like, you know, you can text now. Yeah,
we did that. We already knew that.
We were sexting premarital.
Yes,
by the way.
You can't stop us. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It's fun for us. Like, yeah, we wouldn't maybe, if we were going on a trip with our families, I don't know if we go to Salt Lake City, maybe on the way to Park City, but like to go there and actually experience the town and see what they're into.
So we met, I went to Burning Man this past summer.
Wow.
How long did it take for him to bring it up?
A couple minutes. He didn't go. You just wouldn't get it,
I also did a 5K. You guys
did. Oh, did you really? Wow.
Big deal.
Good to know.
It took you a while to bring that up, that's good endurance.
Anyway, I went and met some really great people and have a really good friend who introduced us to, I mean, these are things that I would never say before last year. She connected me with a dude who is a fire dancer who dances with the fire right before they light the man off at the Burning Man. So he's in a fire. He and his wife are in a fire dancing troupe. I would never know these people had I not gone. So she connected us with him this past weekend in Salt Lake City. We went out to cool restaurants. We hung out with other friends. It was Pride. It was Pride Week there. We went to a drag show after our shows, which was one of the funniest.
It was the best.
It was so enjoyable and so cool.
They have Pride Week. In Salt Lake City, Utah. Yet they've just legalized premarital sex. They can arrest the entire parade for the most part.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Are they married?
A lot
of them are married.
Most of them are married anyway.
A lot of gay people get married too. Yes.
Although I was talking to this guy. I was talking to this guy who we had just met who was friends with the fire and really good dude. His
Another burning man.
Another burner. And I was talking to Bruce and this guy came up to me and this dude came up and he was like totally DTF for me. And he was like.
Not me at all though.
Not you at all. It's like this guy's disgusting.
And now you guys can.
Yeah. Right. But he asked me and this other guy who I was talking to, are you guys husbands? And I was like, no, but I do like that you feel like we're interacting in such a way
that you would think
you guys had a vibe.
Yeah, we had
that's
a vibe
cool
together.
They can even ask
I appreciate that. Yeah,
you guys are husbands? Maybe.
That's really cool.
And
I was
that's
like,
cool
maybe.
That we can be. Yeah.
The drag show was insane. We went to that. And then the next night between our shows, they took us to this was like a What was it? It was a pole dancing community.
Yes.
That put on a show for their community. So in between our, so we had two, we have two shows in a night. So 7:30 and a 9:30, or 7 and 9:30. So between, we finished our merch line and we had maybe like 45 minutes and they're like, okay, we're driving you over here. It's 7 minutes away. And we like went to this like private, crazy. These are girls are all, and guys, like men and women pole dancing. And I'm like,
it's a community of pole dancers.
I was like, I can't
not
believe.
Like completely stripping, just dancing.
No,
on the pole.
No stripping at all. Yeah, it's just them doing dancing, and but using the pole. And it was creative and cool and very sexy. Wow. And it was just amazing. And I was like, I can't believe this is going on in Salt Lake City. There is no way we would have ever known about this had we not connected with our friends.
You know what? I mean, I agree with that. We play, you know, Utah, and we play Salt Lake City all the time, and the fans are great.
Amazing.
They're crazy.
Amazing.
It's always an amazing time, and like
they're kind of starved for it.
They're just looking for a good time,
That's
and they
right.
have a good time.
They do,
yeah, they
and
really
so
do.
They were awesome. Shows were amazing.
They're out to prove themselves because they know what the world thinks.
Yeah.
They think that every single person is Mormon, and so they're like, no, let us prove
Show
you wrong.
Right.
Let us and our five wives prove you wrong.
Yes. Sometimes, with the straight hair down to the ankles.
Right.
Yes.
Who
and
cares
the flannel.
If the skirt is covering their shoes and hovering around the ground. No, but I mean, you go to New York and you do a show in New York City, which we love doing shows in New York City, but you do a headlining set in New York City. You're maybe one of four things that those people are doing that night. They're going out to dinner. They're going to go see your show. Then they're going to go to a club. Then they're going to go to a party.
Yeah.
So they're not so invested in what your thing.
You're doing.
You know what I mean? Like you're just one of four.
And they've probably seen, you know, all of the top headlining you know, bands, comedians, everything. They
all
come through
there.
There.
Right. That's
half
right.
of them probably got their tickets free from someone they know.
Yeah, no one ever comes up to you after a show in New York City is like,
thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming to New York City.
Yeah.
You
so
go to
nice
Utah,
you.
You're like, thank you for coming.
They come up, they're like, you're welcome, guys, for being here.
You're
welcome.
For,
you boys.
I hope
thank
you enjoy.
You.
I hope you appreciate it, you asshole. Yeah.
We did.
I bought tickets to see. I was walking. I was one of these tourists in New York. I was walking up the street, and they were like, David Tell. You want to see David Tell? I fucking love David Tell.
Of course.
I paid for the tickets right there. Went to the show. No David Tell.
Oh, man.
Still laughed.
Well,
but no
all
David
he
Tell.
Said is, do you want to see David Tell? And you said, yes.
You're 100%
and he's
right.
Like, well,
I'm going to keep you wanting to see David Tell.
Yeah. All we're doing is ensuring that you still want to see him.
Yeah, we're just checking in with you, man.
So technically, you did nothing wrong.
I still want to see him, so it worked.
Right.
I've seen him live, and it is great.
He's the best. Great. He's doing a show with our buddy Jeff Ross. They're doing Bumpin' Mikes.
Oh, Bumpin'
Mikes. Oh, yeah,
Bumpin'
Mikes.
Great
show.
Yeah. I love his delivery. Just, he's got his own little bucket.
Canada is.
The best.
Jeff Ross, this past summer, Jeff Ross said, we've been doing judging the roast battle. I'm sure you've seen
the roast battle. Oh, God, the roast battle's so fun.
So he was like, I want you guys to participate in the roast battle on Comedy Central season 3.
Nice.
I want you guys to do it. You got to roast each other.
Well, I saw you guys did.
And
oh,
it
perfect.
Should hurt a little bit. And we're like, Jeff, you want us to take a 25-year, like, you know, we've been, we're 47 years old, but a 25-year creative relationship and just destroy it in one night. And he's like, yeah. And we're like, how much are you going to pay us? He's like, $2,500. We were like, each? He said, yeah. We were like,
I will do that.
So we roast
each
other.
That's worth our
relation. We roast each other, which was a blast. And now we incorporate that in our stand-up, which is so fun because it's such a departure
it's
from
different
what we
than
do.
What we do. Yeah.
It's like a different moment. And we do it towards the end. So we spend like, 40 minutes or so really showing what we can do, especially for
together.
People who've never seen. And then we take that one moment to step apart and just take
That's
shots
cool.
at each other.
Oh, it's
Did
fun.
You guys ever do stand-up separately?
We've done it a few times and we've performed separately. We're big sports fans and we were asked to host this this big event at Michigan for Jim Harbaugh, the signing of the stars, when they had this huge, all their recruits. It was 3 years ago now, 4 years ago now.
Crazy.
And we were asked to do it. And then I booked a pilot here for True TV that I was acting in. And Randy went by himself back to Michigan to do it.
And that was in front of like 4,000 people. These were jokes that I had never told before out. And it's not like tried and true material that I know works. And
almost testing it.
And Harbaugh and Tom Brady is there. And Desmond Howard's there.
Flair's there. Rick Flair was there and made like a huge speech and then comes over on the couch. And then the producer is in Randy's ear.
Ric Flair, I'm watching this because I'm watching Ric Flair. He's standing right there and I'm watching the teleprompter. And he's got a speech that he's supposed to say that he cleared with everybody and was there. And I'm just watching the teleprompter. He's not saying anything on the teleprompter.
God,
he's just
it.
Going on and on and on. And it kind of isn't really making sense. I mean, it's Ric Flair at this point.
But no one cares because he's
on his
like
head a
the
bunch.
Greatest.
Yeah. He's just, woo! Yeah.
Does not care. Crowd's going nuts. And he's
Randy, you were saying he kind of seemed a little like, it was almost like he didn't really have a ton of energy until like he got to the mic. And
then he got to the mic and he looked like a crusty old dude who was, kind of small in certain ways. And then he got to the mic and he just kind of fanned out. But it was amazing because in my ear, I've got like an IFB in my ear and there's a producer in the truck going like, get him off. I'm like,
Get Ric Flair
off.
What do you want me to do? Put him in a figure four leg lock?
Like, how am I going to get him off? Yeah, I was like, I can't get him off. And then he finishes his speech and he's like, make sure he doesn't come over to the couch. And then John Harbaugh, Jim's brother, who's the coach of the Ravens, is like, Rick, why don't you come on over here?
Oh, God, no.
Start asking him questions. I'm like, okay, I think what we meant to say is next up, the Migos. You know what I mean? It was like. It was insane.
So the jokes that you went to even do, were they jokes that were supposed to be for both of you? And no. You just had to one-man?
There were jokes we both wrote.
Both wrote.
And then we ended up writing for him just because we knew that I wasn't going to be able to be there. We knew pretty far in advance. And so I remember like thinking to myself, I'm sitting in the makeup trailer getting ready to go on set. And
because it was
show.
Broadcasted on Derek Jeter's site.
So and it was a day show. So it's daytime there, middle of the day in Ann Arbor, but it's morning out here and we're getting ready for the first shot. And I'm like in the makeup chair and I'm watching him. And
it's big. I mean, it is really.
I'm nervous for him.
Nervous for him, more nervous.
It's like a show for like hundreds of thousands of people online and 4,000 people in front of you. That's a big
That's
show.
That's nerve-wracking, yeah.
And it got a lot of press and stuff like that, and he did a great job.
That's cool. There's like a moment where I'm interviewing Tom Brady, and like Harbaugh's just next to him right there, and I was like, this is insane. And he's looking at me to kind of run the show and keep it going and
be
funny
the host and
be funny and keep it like moving in certain ways. It was truly a great experience, and in the moment, I actually had so much fun, even though I was really nervous before we
That's
started.
Cool.
But
then we both got to do it the next year, which was super fun.
So we talked about this for a quick second on our last one we did. It was a coach and an MMA fighter.
Nice.
And we talked about, I asked him, because the coach also used to fight, and I was like, were you more nervous before fights when you were fighting or when you had to sit and watch, you know, whoever you're coaching. Yeah. Were you like sitting there thinking of him doing that by himself? Were you almost a little more nervous than when you have to do it yourself?
Yes, I was super nervous because, when we're together, someone can be there to pick up the slack.
Totally.
You know, it's like when you're in a band and someone's having an off night or whatever, someone can kind of like take over and maybe just, you know, help
100%.
Guide it through. But if he's out there on his own, you know, I felt for him and I knew. But the second he landed that first joke and like was waiting for the response.
And he could tell that I was having fun.
Nice.
It was funny because he did it on stage and I was over here and I just felt a release and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
It's going to be fun.
And it's really
cool.
But
it is nervous. And we still get, in certain moments when we perform, we definitely still get nervous. Like it just depends the context of the show.
Yeah.
So, again, this past weekend in Salt Lake City, like our first show, we got off stage after doing the show. Meanwhile, the two guys ahead of us were like, wow,
this
crowd seem really,
really weird,
tight for some reason. And we're like, well, it might be just an early Friday. That's typically your tightest crowd in terms of they've just worked all day. They haven't really had time to loosen up. It's not like they rested. You know, who knows if they got sleep the night before.
We get on stage and like in the first like 30 seconds, I hear like what sounds like a 3-year-old in the crowd.
Yeah. We're like, what is...
Did
what
someone
is,
come in pregnant and have a baby? Like, I don't know why. Like,
you saw a daycare center in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, like, you can't bring kids in here. And so,
well, Salt Lake City, 3-year-old could be someone's wife.
We don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. Hey, you don't listen. Well, don't mess with the elders.
Do not do it. And they're
don't
Mormon.
Question the
they
elders.
Could have had. They could have had that. Yeah, got the entire pregnancy happened during the show.
During
and the, baby
the show,
came. The baby was
so,
seven by the time the show was
up.
Over.
They
so
speed it up.
We showed up and we're on stage and we're. You know how it's going. Like, we have little litmus tests within the set. Like, if they laugh at this joke, this is going to be a great set. If they don't laugh at this joke, we're going to have to work harder about 11 minutes from now when we do this other thing. You know, it's like you start like calibrating your brain. And we get on stage and it's like, all of a sudden it feels like rough sledding. And we're like, what is going on with these people?
So we get on stage and we found out that it was a company, like they kind of bought the place out. And the company was a recovery home for children. I was like, okay, this is these people. Meanwhile, we're like, we were getting off stage. We're like, we should probably get out of comedy because we can't do this anymore. And they're coming out going like, that was the best company party we've ever had.
Why would they think that was the proper?
You said this would be a great idea.
I don't fault the club at all because the club, is like, great.
Money.
We have a lot of people coming and it's a good thing. And I don't fault them at all. I just was like, wow, someone you know, from they should have alerted the club to alert the comedians, like, yeah. hey, this is going to feel different.
This might not be like your regular set. And so we were walking around kind of all mad. And then the next show was super fun. The late show was like,
nice,
beautiful, beautiful show. But it's so funny. You get, I feel like if we would have known that, hey, this is a corporate thing for people in recovery, we probably would have been so nervous going up and thinking as we were going, like,
ooh, we got to edit this
out. Can't say this. Don't say this.
Should we say this joke or not?
But you don't want to do.
Instead, we said it all
and felt bad about ourselves after we said it.
That actually is a good time.
Yeah,
there
was actually a fan question that wrote in something just like that.
We had a couple fans actually write in some questions.
Love it.
Jesse Z Rules wants to know, is it harder now to make, you know, your routines with people being so sensitive and politically correct these days?
Good point. Yeah, that's a great question.
I thought it was a good one too.
You know, sometimes yes. We've always said this because we did our show Cheap Seats on ESPN Classic for many years, which was sports and comedy, and we had to work for Disney. And Disney, you know, who owned ESPN, was super strict about what you can and can't do. So this is a late night comedy show.
Some people are like, South Park is saying whatever the F they want. And like, we are sitting here going, we want our fans to be people who watch that and Chappelle and The Daily Show. And
what can we do? They're like, you can't say the word sucks. That's something you cannot say on this show. So we're like, well,
That stinks.
I can't even say it.
That stinks.
That stinks
shit.
No stinks. Yeah.
Stinks like shit.
So it forced us to have to get creative and go in a different direction and get weirder and more subversive. And, you know, in some weird way, even though we hated it at the beginning, it kind of brought us to a new place. And that's sort of how we're looking at, you know, it right now. Yes, there are things that we've said in our comedy 10 years ago that I don't know that we would write that joke today.
You know, but it causes you to think about the material it causes you not to be sloppy in a certain way. Like if you can justify, and we're thoughtful people, we don't want to go out. Yeah. It's not, and there are comedians who right now, their whole act is everybody's too sensitive and we need to treat immigrants like this. And we need to, it's kind of almost like in a Trumpian sort of a way, but like, that's their whole act is to do that, which fine. I mean, I can't even say that's bad. It's like you
do. It's working right now too.
Sure, totally. That works too.
And people want one or the other right now.
People want one or the other. But you know, what we say is, what if we gave you something that felt, that had the edge of that and had the energy of that, but also no one walked away being like, I didn't like that for me.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's a little bit more of a high wire act that we have to go through. But we're like, we'll take that challenge. We'll do that. I mean, yes, there are times where we've done some things in the past that are like pushing the envelope as a way to show the exaggerated version of something that we don't like that now would maybe be misinterpreted by someone we kind of cut that out.
Yeah.
I would say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that feels pretty fair.
Yep.
But that's a great question.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you got to kind of adjust with times, but still be true to yourself in a way.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, and there are some, you know, we always look at like, what is the, to me, it's like, what's the intent? Like, if you're doing this at a rally for a bunch of people, you know, who hate other people and you're doing it to rile up the rally, well, then that's obviously like negative intent. If you're trying to get a laugh by exaggerating a stance or a personality, okay. That's, you're doing it for comedy's sake.
And so I do think when people get to, people can be so sensitive they can ruin comedy.
Totally.
Absolutely. Like we in talking about, you know, we do a bit about the fact that I'm not going to do the whole bit here. You can see it at the Rec Room.
Hey, come on.
but like if you, the whole bit about how the wall is going to, we feel like it's going to come whether you want it or not. Like somehow it's going to get pushed through. And so how do we deal with that? We're like, well, if it's going to come, what do we do about it? It upsets us. That's what we put forth first. This upsets us because we feel like it's not going to do the trick. And yes, immigration has to be taken care of in terms of comprehensive reform. But the wall's going to come. We feel like it's a stupid solution. So what do we do about it? And we say, let's have fun with it.
Let's do a rock climbing wall
on our side.
But it has to be on our side because they're not going to go for it on their side.
Okay, so now you've introduced this stupid concept of basically building REI on our side where you could book your kid's birthday party down at the wall. You know what I mean? And that is
paying for the wall.
As it goes,
you guys are thinkers.
So the point is that like in doing that, there are a lot of people who could come up to you and be like,
Look, families are being separated.
This is a sensitive.
You're making light of what's a really difficult subject. And
I would argue back, no, we're not. No. What we're doing is we're saying we don't want the wall to come. And so if you can, this is what we would say is
we're poking fun at the concept of it.
Of the wall.
Yeah. And we're saying, you know, look, we're dressing it up in a way that's absurd to highlight the absurdity. So
as long as you have like a basis for what you're saying, I believe, and you're not just saying that like, you know, you're not just trivializing it.
No, and you know, like you said, you're doing it, it's for comedy, it's to make people laugh. Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of it's that people sometimes need to realize, you know, it's okay to laugh at yourself too.
Totally.
Look what they're saying. It's not really, you know, hurting anyone. It's just to get a laugh, and you might not agree with what they're saying, but you could probably see the humor in it if you just take a little step back, you know?
I love when people laugh at themselves.
You have to.
One thing that we started to do, we did this project on audible.com, and that's another thing. You could sign up for a free month and then
30
quit.
Days then cancel.
No. It's called Sklars and Stripes, but whenever we go to a town, we were like, can we write 10 minutes of material about the town that we're in.
Nice.
And while we're there, plane lands on Thursday. Can we write this material over the course of the weekend and then start doing it in the shows? And that's what we do at the top of the show. Now, you are talking about like the Utah thing. Mm-hmm. Once we talked about the fact that, I mean, when we were up in Portland, Oregon, there was that whole case of like the measles. Like we were like, we said up there, we were like, all right, if one thing we know we are leaving here, Portland is a case of the measles. Love that so much because it was like part of them.
And
they know.
They know we were in Salt Lake City. One thing you almost like can never, people get so offended about this more than anything is if you cut on their sports teams and like
our favorite thing to do.
So this weekend we were talking about being in Salt Lake City and there was like a John Stockton way and we were like, it was cool to be on that. It kind of distributes you onto other ways, which is really great, just like John Stockton. And then we said, there was a Karl Malone way, more of a dead end street.
Yeah, well, it almost gets you to where you want to go.
Like you can see your final destination, but you can't really get there. And so that dug into a sore of them never winning the finals. And that kind of was, we got some like pushback.
The mailman.
That was fun. You know, we should have said there was a post office on that.
Come on, man. Where are you?
John Stockton will assist you in any direction.
That's right.
There's no exit. You just can't.
That's right.
We said John Stockton's, we love when teams do the throwback like jerseys. That's so fun. But
and they should do throwback short shorts for John Stockton.
His shorts were so short they were a belt. Let's be honest about that.
His shorts were so high they were a necklace. At Burning Man.
Randy went to Burning Man. Did you know Randy went to Burning Man?
He went to Burning Man.
Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned it.
He's training for a half marathon as well.
Yeah. Oh, did you run a 5K? Because you didn't even mention that for like 8 minutes.
Amazing.
I was at Coachella. There was one that I missed.
So
a half
cool,
marathon because I was Coachella-ing.
Wow.
Not a big deal.
Okay. Wow. So you ran half the marathon on Molly.
All right, that's fantastic. Cool. Hey, that happens, man. I ran a marathon and I chewed my cheek off. Good.
Yeah. I sucked on a lollipop the entire time.
Not a bad deal.
Did you guys ever go to like a rave? Not as an adult, like as a kid, like, yeah, I'm going to go take some Molly and go to a rave with my friends.
Yeah, in college we did stuff.
You went to Burning Man. I mean,
I went, but that was this past year. But yeah,
in college you messed around and had fun and did stuff like that and stayed up all night and like, you know, now, like, if we there are times where, like, we'll have an early flight back because our families are like, please come home as soon as possible. All right, fine. So we come back. And some nights, you know, you finish your shows late and you're all amped up and you're out for a little while. And then you're like, does it make sense to go to bed right now? Because the car's picking me up in an hour. And then you get home and you're like, oh, I should have fallen asleep.
Even just for the hour, I should have done it.
Kids run, meet you at the door, each one on each leg.
Yeah. And your wife is like, hey, I'm checking out for a little while because I was with these guys for 4 days. And you're like, I'm dying.
I know that feeling.
Oh, that's
you know that feeling. Oh, touring, so well. Touring musician, you know.
Coming home and just being a zombie.
Yours.
Oh.
Yeah. It's hard. Something you can
and
say
he has dogs and cats and frogs, and they're all meeting you at the front door. When you open up his front door, it's just dogs
Noah's
running,
Ark.
Cats
it's
running.
It's like two of each.
It is. I have to have at least two of each animal because I can't. And I just,
because of the flood,
one of my dogs just passed away.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. 14 years.
That's a good run.
14 years. Yeah,
that's
good
a great run.
So my other dog is 8 now.
Okay.
So I'm doing like an adult thing here because my kids obviously are like, puppy, puppy, puppy. And I'm like, you know what?
Rescue an adult.
I'm gonna go rescue an 8-year-old dog.
Wow.
So that my two dog can have an same age, they can live their life out together.
First of all, there are I've been to some shelters, we've been looking a little bit, and like the 8-year-old, you'll be able to get one.
Oh, yeah.
And a great one.
Yeah.
Everyone wants a puppy.
Yeah. Everyone wants a puppy.
Plenty of 8-year-olds for
there are lots.
But I saw it happen with this two dogs I have now. Like, right when I got the 8-year-old and you know, the other dog was like I don't know, 8 or 7 or whatever. They were fine. But then, you know, my other dog got to like 11, and then this one was like 4 or 5. And it's,
I mean,
not
you're
the
essentially
same.
Putting your 56-year-old on dog Tinder. Yeah. That's essentially what you're doing. You're like, we're going to connect you.
Let
and,
you live your lives out together. Exactly. And
that's
then
not a bad thing.
Dog
a little video chat. You can hold in front of your dog.
Just, what do you think?
What do you think?
Yeah. He did. I'm sorry.
That was
he,
a good bark.
That was a good bark.
Did he bark left?
Known for that.
Did he bark left or right? I couldn't tell. If he wanted to
bark left, you move on to the next dog.
Yeah, move on to the next one. Bar right, bark right. You got to keep.
I don't even know.
Is that chapstick? Oh no, no, that's not chap. He liked that one. He liked that.
He liked that. He liked
his
that.
Red rocket came out.
He's in it. He's into doing.
We don't get that one. The red have
rocket.
More dogs.
The red rocket.
So you know, having these guys in, I thought you know this would be a perfect subject on this show. We always try to have some sort of subject. You know, makes you feel good, something inspirational, and we just thought laughter.
Yes.
What a good subject this is. You know, I feel like. This has something very close in common with like, with music, and you know the music we play. One of my you know favorite things that happens is when someone maybe shoots me a DM online or something, and it's like,
dick
"Hey,
pic.
I was you know turned on by your music. They sent me a dick pic.
That's great.
No, no, no. But you know, if you get a Red Rocket. Message like, "Hey, I was feeling really down, and I heard this song, and it just really brought me back up. It made me feel better. I just want to say thanks, you know, and that just makes you feel so good. You're like, wow, I made this song, not really knowing if anyone would like it, and now look, I really like changed someone's life, you know, for the better. Even
gives
if
me
it
chills,
for a day.
Even just to hear that, I have like chills about that.
That's and great. I'm sure that you guys probably get somewhat of that same feeling when you're on stage and you're just making a whole room of people just have a good time, and just you're seeing them laugh, and like what like a cool feeling that must be.
It is great, and I also love that yes, we do have a little bit of merch, but for the most part what we do and what we create is something that goes out into the world, and then it isn't like something that contributes to the waste of the world.
Totally.
It is an experience that people have, makes them feel good,
or
fills
we'll have
them
people
up.
Say, you know, people have written to us and this has like brought me to tears. Someone will say like, I listened to your comedy album or your podcast while I get chemotherapy. So that's like an hour of my life that I eight. I don't look forward to it at all, but if I know that I have an hour,
you're going
to
get me through it.
That just gave me chills.
You get me through it.
And you go like, well, this is why we got into this. Even if it's just one person that has that reaction, this is why we do this period, you know?
It really is cool, man. And so laughter, just think about it. It's one of those things, and I think I said something similar when we were talking about music, and it's just one of those things that's still just left in this world that's just so natural.
Yep.
Purely
and it's
good.
Just like there's just
purely
there's
good.
Purely good. There's no way you can find bad in it, although some people try to.
Of course.
But, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And laughter, you know what, Jake? It makes us feel good. And
here, Segway King over here.
Oh, here I'm feeling good with Daddy. We have a couple sponsors, and our sponsors are always things that make us feel real good.
Nice.
And you know what makes me feel good? Mm-hmm. Whiskey.
There you go.
Yay. And this whiskey is delicious. Proper 12. They've been with us since day one on this show, and we've been drinking it ever since, and it's really good.
You boys have important things to do.
You're
not gonna partake. If we can drink it, but I'm going to watch you enjoy it.
Awesome.
I mean, if I show up to carpool line today with my kids wasted, I don't know if that's the best idea, but you know.
I don't think
it's not the worst.
It's not the worst.
Again,
I know you're drunk, Karen. I'm going the right way. Get your ass out of the way.
Jake, hook it up. But honestly, this is really delicious whiskey, and as I will say, as I said in the past, if you go out and get yourself a bottle of this, and you take a picture of you and your friends taking a shot of Proper 12, and you tag us and Proper 12 in it, I'll send you something. I don't know what it is, and I don't even know if you'll like it, but I'll send you something.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Proper 12, I like
Boom.
It.
Boom.
Proper 12, that's like Conor McGregor's whiskey line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's a whiskey guy now.
I love it.
That's so cool. This is like
it's whiskey that, it's whiskey that snacks, smacks you in the face.
Right. Yeah. Or chases really your does. Bus down.
That's right. Throws a hand truck at your bus.
Cheers to you guys. Salute. We'll enjoy drink water on your behalf. Nice.
How was it? Smooth? Go down smooth?
It is.
Okay, neither of you made a face, which tells me either you drink a ton of whiskey.
Or it's super smooth.
Or it's just the smoothest thing ever.
Both. He drinks a ton. I barely do. It's smooth.
Yeah,
you barely do, and you didn't make a face.
Well, now that I'm doing this show, I've drank
more.
A shot every episode. This
that's
what,
nice.
The 12th, 13th, 14th? This is a new show.
I love it, man.
Well, but so, you know what's cool? So I always like to, even if I'm not a heavy whiskey drinker, I love to hear what someone likes, because then I'll be like, oh, that's what I'm getting as a gift for
this friend of mine who I know likes it, or that. So I'm super psyched to know
easy
about this.
Easy whiskey to drink.
It's a very easy shot.
I love like dudes who, because there is a whole thing of whiskey, especially, you know, if you just take it and enjoy it. It's whiskey and scotch and all that stuff.
Yeah.
To like
have it with a cigar.
Right, or just have it like in a glass with a large ice cube over time. Oh, yeah. And really nurse it and take it like through an evening. Like that to me is, I like the culture surrounding it.
Yeah, no, it's nice. I got into it for a while. I got really into Manhattans.
Mm. Ooh, yeah.
Which is just pretty much like a whiskey martini. You know, and that's the same thing. I could just sit with them. They're delicious.
The ice melts and it almost tastes a little, it's like you're supposed to have a little water in it. So as the ice melts, it kind of tastes almost a little smoother. Yeah. That's what I was told.
Dude, you guys.
But yeah.
Good, man.
Yeah, hey,
man.
You know what? Awesome. We have another. Send you home with the bottle.
Yeah, we'll send you guys home with the bottle.
I love it.
I'll take it.
On the note, I got a couple other sponsors we'll talk about really quick. Koi. Koi CBD is one I want to talk about. I always talk about it. I love this product. I've been using CBD every day for a long time. And then Koi was one of the sponsors for the One Love Festival we did. So I met some of the guys there. Super cool people. Super, super great company. If you haven't tried any CBD products and you're someone that, you know, has a lot of pain or inflammation and you're constantly popping like pain pills.
No.
Give CBD a try.
All the way, because it's not going to get you high.
It's not going to take care of.
No. Right. It's non-psychoactive.
All natural. And yeah, like he said, like you're not going to get high. I think a lot of people who haven't tried it have a misconception and they think, oh, it's marijuana. I'm going to get stoned by this. No, you're not. But you are going to feel a lot better. And Koi CBD is a great product. They're so clean. And if you go to KoiCBD.com and you put in code DUDDY at checkout, 20% off.
Boom.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, and boom. Also, we don't have it on here right now because everyone that works here took it home because it works.
Yeah.
They have like a little rub on, I guess, salve. What would you call it?
Yeah. Like topical.
Topical there ointments. Dude, you rub it on. It's like minty, you know, smelling, and it tingles a little bit. And I rub it down my spine and my back.
It's delicious.
Takes
feel
all your back pain
from.
Away.
Feel free.
Like Ben Gay.
Yeah.
They have to drive.
It's delicious.
Again, never mind.
No, we can do that. Yeah, I will take that
little
home.
Teacher, feel free.
Yeah. I'm taking that home.
Yeah, we'll send that with you.
And one other thing I want to say with that, I take it every morning, and honestly, it's like almost like a natural mood enhancer for me, which is one of the reasons, and I'm not mood enhancer, but like, I mean, I'm feeling it, like I feel good. It just kind of takes a little stress off.
Yeah.
And it's without getting tired, by the way, and it's just a great way to start the day. Koi CBD,
give it a look. You sold me.
Yes.
Done. So. They're going to take it with them.
And I'm not done there. I got another one. Sticky vapes. What a cool product. We are in the future, people. We are in the future. Mm-hmm. You have a weed stick in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I'm a busy millennial business smoker guy, and I can't be rolling around with a bong in my pocket.
No, you
can't
anymore.
I can't.
Not anymore.
Sticky Vapes, another great company, great people. I use this product every day. Check it out, stickyvape.com. Next time you're in a dispensary and you're going to pick up a vape pen of some sort, pick up a sticky vape pen. And look, we actually made some Dirty Head ones with them, and these ones are awesome. We have a Sativa, the Dance All Night, and we have an Indica, the Medusa, and they're both delicious. Give it a go.
And this is a new thing, but you can now smoke these premaritally in Utah.
Yeah, that's available now.
Just passed.
Just passed.
Just passed.
It's not your mom's Utah.
Thank you.
This not
isn't,
anymore.
This isn't your sister wife's mom's Utah.
Utah.
Oh. Yeah. This isn't your third mom's Utah, everybody, all right?
This is your third mom's Utah. That's it.
Okay, big state, little vape pen.
Any more stuff?
One last one. On It. Another great company. I've been taking the Total Human supplements every day. And then this instant powder, you can put it in your water, 8 ounces. It tastes delicious like peach. Like peach. Yeah. And it's great for your memory. It's great for your focus. And it is actually delicious. And then this one is actually great. I use this on the road. We get off the stage at like midnight or so. Yep. This would be great for you guys.
Yeah.
You get off stage and it's late, and then you probably have a show the next day, but it's hard to go right to bed.
Because
you're all amped up.
Your energy's high.
And so it's just this natural melatonin spray. A couple sprays in your mouth, boom, you're going to sleep like a baby.
Ooh, I give it to my daughter at 6 p.m.?
You're in.
Yeah, I want it.
Five and a half year old.
O-N-N-I-T. That's two N's. O-N-N-I-T. Onnit.com. Check it out.
Sweet.
Get on it.
Boom. So you guys have thrown out first pitches.
Yes, we have.
Oh, yeah, we have.
So fun. We did it in St. Louis. So we did it.
Well, the first time we did it was in Cleveland.
First time we did it in Cleveland, which was a blast.
So it was late in the season.
Progressive Field.
They heard we were going to be in the area, and they said, do you guys want to come throw out the first pitch? And we were like, yeah. And then we did a show that night at Hilarities, which is a great club there. But We go to the game. It's an afternoon game. We're throwing out the first pitch along with other people who were throwing out the first. It wasn't like we were alone. But we were the last ones to throw
it
out.
But it was cool.
The last ones, that was the most important.
The most important. Thank you. So Randy goes and throws sidearm.
I go dip down like submarine style.
And he throws hard.
From the rubber. Of the mound.
Yeah, you got it.
60 feet.
Come on.
So Randy throws it hard.
Whip it.
And cleats? He whipped it probably about 70. We didn't have cleats, but we had our gloves.
Even gnarlier.
And he threw it hard. And that was awesome. And then I got on and I'm like, I want to do a bit. I'm like, I got to do a bit.
Got to do a bit.
So I went from the stretch, faked pickoff move to third, turned like I was going to throw to first. And then some guy from up in the box, how do I know this? Because there's a YouTube video. If you Google Sklar's throw out first pitch in Cleveland, you can find it. And you hear the guy in the background be like, come on, throw the ball. And I'm like, it's 40 minutes before the game.
Who cares?
It's Cleveland. It's September. Your team's way out of the race. And you're in a box. Where do you got to be, bro?
Yes. Yeah,
what are you doing?
Eat the chicken strips.
And just chill. Eat the chicken strips and shut up. So I do that pitch. I come up to the box, which we happen to be sitting in the Cleveland Indians box right next to their box.
Oh, awesome.
And this guy tells me, hey, that guy over there was yelling,
yelling at you.
So I'm like, I'm going to confront this guy. So I go, hey, man, I heard you were yelling at me to throw. He's like, throw the ball. And I was like, dude, if you ever get a chance to throw out the first pitch and you don't do a bit, I'm going to yell at you.
Do a bit.
If you Google Sklar Brothers, that's it. That's the first pitch.
That's it.
And you can hear the guy yell. If you turn up the volume, yeah, it's after
perfect.
Randy.
It's only 40 seconds. We can watch
this. So here comes Randy. You'll see Randy.
You just
go full screen.
Full screen.
Full screen. Yeah. So here's Randy. Side up.
Oh, nice.
Side up.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Whip City.
Woo. All right. So now, music.
So I step up, give me the ball, and I'm going to do a bit.
Yeah, jog too.
And then I would watch this, because listen to the guy yelling. So, fake to third, turn to third.
Oh!
Throw the ball!
Yeah! Watch this. Curveball. Put it right there. Strike!
That guy wasn't going to give you one extra second.
By the way, did it take that long for him to do that thing?
It made it so much better.
Second. I did a joke.
I'm going to give that guy some Coy CBD.
That guy needs CBD. You had to keep the runner on first at home because you were throwing a slow curve.
Keep him honest.
You got a guy on third. He's stealing second.
Keep him
honest. By the way, I threw a strike. So then we
It was like Anderson Cooper up there, keeping him honest.
Absolutely. Straight talk express.
I was like Don Lemon. So then Randy and I go to St. Louis to do it, to throw out the first pitch on Jose Oquendo bobblehead night. Now, we did a show on ESPN Classic called Cheap Seats. We did a special trying to get Jose Oquendo into the Hall of Fame.
Utility player has never been in the Hall of Fame, and the end result was that we went to his home in Puerto Rico. We met his mom.
We went to Cooperstown during Hall of Fame.
We reenacted his first at-bat at Shea Stadium. Oh. We went to St. Louis, and then we went to we talked to Tony La Russa. Then we went to the Hall of Fame, and we made a homemade plaque of him that got hung on the utility closet.
Briefly.
Cooperstown.
Briefly.
So we felt like we had achieved our goal.
So we go to St. Louis. We go to St. Louis, and Randy gets up to throw first, and he's going to throw sidearm. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, you should do this. And then he threw it.
I threw it. There was a photographer who
like
was
an old guy
standing like next to the plate. And Oquendo was catching.
Oquendo is like older than us.
And he's not going to move around to get the ball.
It's not like you have the professional catcher who's going to slide out and make the play. So Randy throws.
I threw it and let it go. And
our joke was he threw it so far left, he brushed back Rachel Maddow.
All right. So I did throw it a little far left.
So then he hits he hits this old camera guy in the leg. I'm like, you just took out a guy. Like, you might have a lawsuit on your hand.
I might have broken the guy's
and
shin.
And then I threw another curve and I sunk it in for a strike.
Nice.
And that was our pay. Now I want to do it again.
Yeah. Now you've thrown it three times.
I've thrown it three times.
Wow. Where?
Angel Stadium, yep. Dodger Stadium, and the Brewers. And on Father's Day this year, I'm doing it again at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Will you hook us up with your Dodger hookup? Because I want to do it.
Dude, David is in there.
David. Can we do a three-person throwout?
No, I don't want to step on his thing. Sklar's want to do it.
Oh, no, we can't.
We'll do it on a separate day.
How about this? Because I got this thing going, and maybe you guys want to jump on board with this. This is like my thing. I want to throw out a pitch at all 32 stadiums.
Oh,
it's 32,
my God.
Right?
My man.
Yeah, my first pitch at all 32 stadiums. Bucket list, I want to do it.
Do it.
So I'm throwing it out there again. I've thrown it out on a few. If you or anyone you know.
Are you lefty or righty?
I'm a righty.
He's a righty.
And you go from the rubber?
I was a pitcher. I played like high school baseball. Yeah, we both grew up playing.
Yeah, so do we. Yeah.
All right, so judge our form. How did we do?
Honestly, it was great.
And dude, the sidearm.
I hated the sidearm pitchers. I fucking hated sidearm pitchers.
So I, what I'm, my son's 10, 11, he's playing baseball now. And so I'm going with him to like his training sessions and stuff. It's so great. So like that notion of reaching out, tucking the gloves so it gives you more of a, puts you more, you know, centered where the ball goes, looking, aiming for the top of the helmet on the catcher.
I want to see if I can find the picture of me. Yeah, I'm, while we're talking, it's, I'm not on my phone. I'm just trying to find.
No, go for it.
Because they did the professional picture of us.
But he's scrolling through some emails right now.
So it's a very high-tech comedian device you guys wouldn't know about.
He's like, Jason, take over. I'm going to back up.
I got it.
I'm going to find this.
No, you're the one who's alone on stage right now. And he's very nervous for you. I can see it.
I always feel alone. We always say sometimes when we're on the road, like because we know each other so well, that like sometimes when we're just the two of us, it's like lonelier than being alone.
Hey.
Because at least when you're alone, you can do whatever you want.
Right? That's right.
I heard an electronic tear go through the ether. It sizzled its way through the ether. Yeah.
I will find this,
He's
swear to God.
He's going to find it.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to finish that off. If you or anyone you know
can get this man on the hill.
Let's go.
The Sklar brothers.
Sklar's on the bump. Let's make that.
Sklar's on the bump.
Duddy on the bump could be like an actual, that could be a campaign.
Duddy on the bump.
Let's start it here. It started right here, right now.
Yeah. When do you think that was that we did the Cleveland thing? What did that say?
Search Sklar Brothers.
No, no, because if you get the date, I'll go right to our pictures.
2015, 2016.
Everybody, welcome back to Duddy on the Bump.
Duddy on the Bump. That's your side project.
That's your guys' new podcast where you just interview people from a Little League mound in your local city.
I walk up to the mound in between innings. I go, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, about that last inning, he got a couple home runs. And like, what are you going to do this
inning? Who is this guy? Oh, he's just Duddy on the Bump.
Duddy on the Bump.
Yeah. No, I did have an idea. What if we did a show called like Visiting Hours and you just went to jail and you just interviewed people from jail every day?
Or how about stadium jail? Underneath the stadium.
You know, the jail where like streakers get put
down there.
Fresh
crime.
Oh, nice.
Stadium jail.
I like this.
That would be like, that could be a TV show, like the new Night Court. Millennium's like Night Court or Barney Miller, Stadium Jail.
Stadium Jail, dude.
So, boom.
Just that big boob chick that used to get thrown in there.
We were talking about this, Jake. With the,
Morgana, the kissing bandit.
I used to love her, man.
Oh, she
As
was
a young
the best.
Boy, I would just really be excited when
I
she
know,
did.
Of course. But like, there's something about it today where you're like, you know, if there was a guy who ran out and he was wearing short shorts and ran out on a softball field and he was getting older, like 40s and 50s, because we are of course getting into the world, the women's softball World Series that's happening right now for college softball. I think we wouldn't be okay with that.
No.
If he ran up and kissed a woman. You know what? It's the woman who stabbed Monica Seles that like ended anyone running on a field. First of all, you go back and you watch when Hank Aaron broke Babe Ruth's record and then like two white dudes just like ran on the field and started running with him. If I was Hank Aaron, I'd be like, oh, this is where I die. Between second and third.
They're coming to get me.
This is where two people just start stabbing me, a period. Like I was like, this is insane. We were watching back on our show Cheap Seats. We would have footage just in the TVs of old things, and we were watching footage from the World Series when the Yankees were in the World Series.
You should find this and throw this up there. Game 6 of the 1977 World Series when the Yankees are about to win. There's a shot of, like, first of all, Reggie Jackson, who's playing the outfield, goes out, runs in, puts on a batting helmet because he knows the field is going
to
get stormed.
About to go.
And he doesn't want to get hit in the head. And as he runs in,
you look in the outfield.
There are people sitting on the wall with their legs hanging over the wall.
Remember when everyone freaked out when Jeffrey Meyer like reached over the wall and caught that ball? And they're he stole a home run.
Yankees, game 6, end of the game. You can see it. Like there are literally in the last pitch, there are people on the wall with their legs.
They could have blocked a home run. They could have ruined the game.
Fan interference. Oh my God.
Gosh, times have changed. Thanks. Stabber tennis lady.
If you go straight to the end, it's not 96, it's 77.
Right up top. Oh, there you go, 1977 right there.
Game 6 Dodgers.
If you just passed it.
You go to the right there, that
up,
one.
Up, up. Yeah,
right
now, there. If you go and drag it right to the end, I think you will see it's so insane. The concept of these players having to make the play
and then run through a sea of like crazy. And these are New Yorkers.
Could
who are like
anyone.
New Yorkers could be like,
I mean, there's probably moments where you like finish a show and like you get out among people and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then all of a sudden this crowd of people and you're like, I don't know.
Right to the very.
Yeah, I don't like when it's a huge crowd there-ish. Of people. It makes me nervous.
Okay.
We're looking at
when
it.
They get it full screen.
We got the righty lefty. That's what you want.
And they'll cut to the.
Oh, he lays down a bunt. Beautiful bunt, actually, but it doesn't.
Nope, safe because he wasn't even on home plate. Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't even.
So, but there's a guy on there. They have to show the outfield.
Come on,
you will
show,
see.
Show the outfield.
It's
for the
insane.
Listeners, we got Dodgers on all the bases, or at least first and second. A guy just scored. It's getting heated.
Someone laid down a great bunt.
That's a good
beautiful
bunt. Oh, my God. He didn't even square around. Yeah. He just dropped it down.
Look, the catcher came out. That's his bad.
It was a drag bunt. Oh, you know, it was on the run.
It was such a drag
bunt.
It was part of Pride Weekend. That's how much of a drag bunt it was.
That's RuPaul's favorite play, by the way, is the drag bunt.
Dude, I love that.
I think that was
work that into the
should
fucking
set.
Oh my
set.
God! All right,
look at that! People sitting on the wall.
There's people sitting
on the
wall.
On the wall.
The fucking trash
and
all over the field.
You've added 5 feet to the home run,
dude. That is insanity!
Wow!
If it hits the wall and it hits someone's leg,
what's the call on that?
This is like a Clash concert.
Yeah, all right.
You gotta watch when Reggie makes the catch. When Reggie makes the catch, you will see this. If they get to the end,
I can't.
And like Cosell's calling it, and he's like, "They down." I'm like, "Cosell, you do even know baseball?
Look at that,
Lee
that
Lacy. Remember Lee Lacy?
Clean bat, no batting gloves, and no pine tar
and
to be found.
No tattoos.
No tattoos.
No
that's
long
unacceptable.
Hair, no chain.
Little right, Reggie's coming in right now.
Reggie, dude.
Look what he's going to get.
Coming into the thing right now to get a batting helmet. He's asking for a batting helmet.
I don't want to get plugged with some stuff.
Reggie's coming in from the outfield. He's getting a batting helmet so that he has safety.
It looks like he may have already got hit by something.
By the way, they're about to win. They're about to win.
And this is not at Dodger Stadium.
This is in his own thing. Insane.
Just terrified of what's going to happen.
I love this so much. It is.
Keep it going. We got Reggie just looking bored. He's got a little mini afro with some big fat glasses on.
How about the
Reggie is angry. Like Reggie's like,
holy shit.
Reggie's mad like George Brett when his hemorrhoids are acting up. Look at that.
He looks like Lawrence Fishburne in John Wick 2.
He does.
Why did it take so long to get him a helmet?
He's trying to get to the Matrix, guys.
Yeah, seriously. He took
And he's like, can I just get like a knife or a gun. Thanks, guys. Yeah. and he puts his glasses back on, runs out with a helmet, and he's like, if you touch me, I want you guys to see this. All right, he makes a play. Does he make the catch?
I don't know. Someone makes the catch. He runs into the dugout. He lowers.
He doesn't just try to avoid people. He's like, I'm going to hurt like five people.
Oh, my God. There's not tumbleweeds flying across the field.
Garbage in the outfield.
Garbage tumbleweeds.
This is like what the New York subway system looked like back
yes.
then.
It looks like he's telling people in the crowd, too, like, you don't even come near me.
How's the catchers back then? No extra, like, ball gear?
No. There is so much garbage out there that Matt Paxton from Hoarders had to come in and do it. Like a special counseling session.
All right, and the angle from the center field camera is even off into like right center. So like
look at how dirt, like unkempt the area around first base is. Like almost like the grounds crews were like, well,
you know
we'll
what?
Get to it.
It's
so gonna get
we got
up
other
anyway.
Stuff.
Yeah, they're like,
popped it up.
There's another game.
It's the ball game.
Like,
they
there
win.
It is.
Now watch Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson, where are you, Reg?
Okay, look at this. There are just people now.
Look at this.
Watch this. He's gonna lower the shoulder.
Whoa, Reggie Jackson looks like he's going for a touchdown.
Boom.
Oh, my God. For the listeners, Reggie Jackson is running to the dugout and absolutely fucking shoulder-checking fans on the way in.
He shoulder-checked one guy.
And
look
now
at that.
This, like,
look at that. There's someone just doing cartwheels.
Wow.
This looks like when, like, Guns N' Roses, like, didn't show up for the concert and the fans started ripping up all the
piece of everything.
This is pre-9/11 America.
That's
just watched it happen.
Billy Martin's just happy. He's like, I need a drink.
But I need a drink.
If they would have lost, he would have said, I need a
drink. At the time, if it was around proper
Billy
12.
Billy Martin, if you're thirsty, get some proper 12
get
whiskey.
That proper 12.
Yes.
Wow.
There you go.
That's all you need to see. We're showing to you guys. Worth mentioning.
We're talking about
we do not
with you guys.
Lie.
All right, these boys actually have to get back to L.A. They've got so much going on. They drove all the way from L.A. to see us out here in Orange County.
They're
doing
pitch
meetings. They're doing all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
So once again, really quick, we don't even have time for the band camp. We got to get you guys back
on
the road.
We can do the band camp.
All right, beautiful.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Oh, give me 1 second.
Get it.
Oh.
Hit it.
Oh, and this one time at band camp.
Yeah.
Nice.
There we
love
go.
It.
It's our one drop. We're very proud.
Proud of it. Love it.
All right.
So what is the band camp?
Band camp is just a weird, interesting, funny story from the road.
Okay, I'll give it to you. Randy and I were doing shows a few years back, one night in Minneapolis at a theater, then the next night we were going to Toronto, okay, to do shows. We get to the airport. It's a Saturday morning. We go to check in, and I check in. It's fine. You know, going to Canada, I show my passport.
I give my passport, which, by the way, like a few years earlier, it's like you didn't need it. You could use your
driver's license
to get through.
So like this is after 9/11. Things have changed. We weren't hip to that. So Randy goes, and the guy looks at the passport, and he starts typing.
He's like typing so long. I'm like, okay, you should not be typing that long. What the hell is going on? And he's like, yeah, this passport is expired. I was like, no, it's not.
He's like, you can't go to Canada. He's like, you think you're going on this flight? You're not going on this flight. And I'm like, well, we have 3 sold out shows at this thing up in Canada, at this venue.
At the Comedy Bar.
Which is a great venue. I'm freaking out. I'm like, I'll get on the plane and I'll just show up and apologize to everyone. I'll tell the club whatever.
Well, no, we didn't know what to do. I was like, I got to go and find a passport place that can do it in an hour.
I'm like, you're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. So I'm getting on the plane. I'm going to go apologize to everyone for an hour. And maybe I'll be funny. I'll do Q&A, whatever. I'll say, if you want your money back, the place give your money back. Tell the place you don't have to pay us. Fine. So I show up. When I land, Randy's like, I have a solution. While you were in the air, I figured it out. So I get to the club, and with my computer, we set up Skype.
No.
We put Randy on a screen next to me.
Now, I am in, like, a shitty motel in Minneapolis.
Not even a Days Inn. It's just a Days.
I'm like, I never heard that.
Days Out.
Days Out, exactly. Oh. So he's sitting on a bed.
Like, the Wi-Fi is spotty. I'm on the bed.
And I'm like, so we did 40 minutes of stand-up together.
There was a time delay because you're now in different states, in different countries, in different time zones.
It's like you're interviewing someone on a space station.
Totally.
Trying to do comedy with someone with a cosmonaut.
And if you watch me and Randy, you know that our timing is like everything almost, you know? And so the fact that anytime we were off, I made fun of him for messing up his passport. Before we got on, I hosted the show and I brought up other comedians. They did sets. And then I was like, all right, I'm auditioning for the Canadian Randy because obviously Randy can't get his stuff together. So I'm like, you'll be the touring company, Sklar Brother. You do a joke of yours and we'll do it together. And so we did jokes together. It was really fun. The show ended up being great.
And they took me out. This is the best.
On my computer, we brought him out after the show to the merch table. And Randy, people could put on headsets and talk directly to Randy.
Oh, so it worked out.
It turned out to be one of the most interesting shows we've ever done.
Nobody asked for their money back. By the way, you'll never see that ever happen. First of all, there aren't a ton of like
comedy teams out there
that do it, let alone twins, let alone
twins with a dumb brother who didn't update his passport.
Right. Oh.
And there you go. That's our Bandcamp story.
Is amazing.
Perfect
Bandcamp story.
Thank you, brothers.
And all right, we got to get him out of here. There was so much more we wanted to talk about. I hope to God we can have you guys back. You guys are amazing and so easy to talk to.
Yeah.
So again, let's just plug everything, you guys. The Sklar Brothers are on tour right now. Go to supersklars.com to find all the tickets. They have a lot of California dates and Oregon I saw on there, everywhere. But importantly, for the local people in Orange County, Saturday. Is it a Saturday, June 15th?
Saturday night, June 15th at the Rec Room.
Let's fill it with your fans. I know your fans would love what we do, and I know you guys would love this venue. It's like a giant barcade outside there, so there's bowling and
there's arcade stuff, it's like a cool
bar. So you come out for the night. It's a super fun night. It's a great venue. We'll have a great comic working with us, and I think it's just going to be great. These guys are going to come out to the show.
We're going to come to the show. We're going to be there. Make a night of it, like we talked about it earlier. Bring your family. Yeah. Eat food there. Let's laugh together because everyone's happy when they're laughing.
Totally.
Yep. All right.
They've got a new special on Stars. We said go check it out, but more importantly, go to supersklars.com.
Get your tickets on there. And you can listen to our podcast on there. Those are on there. And you can
Dumb People Town and View from the Cheap Seats. But come see us in Huntington Beach at the Rec Room. It's going to be a lot
of
fun. Oh, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, we've been posting a bunch of clips of our
stand up
on Instagram and stuff from our podcast. So that's a great way to kind of get a little taste of what we do. It's just at Sklar Brothers with brothers spelled all the way out.
There you go.
Thanks, dudes.
Thanks, boys.
For coming. Hit it. Awesome. Once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you to the Sklar Brothers. And this summer, make sure when you're at the 311 Dirty Head show, you go out to the Cutlass booth. Jake's going to be here. And we're going to be there all summer at the shows. Make sure you come out to the booth. Say what up to Jake. Make sure you follow Cutlass Brand on Instagram. We're going to be doing a lot of contests for tickets to every single show. And
I want to send a big shout out to Reamp Studios. Thank you, everybody here at Reamp, killing it. Ashton behind the boards, you're the man. Mark sitting in the corner, probably farted. Who knows, man? Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks, Mark. Peace.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.